listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
All right, April 6, 2015. Let's wake up the audio chat from its deep slumber. We've got myself, Avarado, and we've got Unreal. Hi, Unreal.
How are you doing?
I'm pretty well. How am I coming through? Is the sound good?
Very good.
Now, you're a little choppy yourself from my end.
Yeah, maybe it's because you can hear my computer's fan running.
Yeah, it sounds okay. Okay, yeah, you sent me some new logos. I haven't had a chance to look at them. So are you saying the first logos that you put in the comments, there's something wrong with them?
Yeah, just misspelled Saturday.
There's some misspellings? Okay.
I just wondered if there might be a thread or a forum post that I missed, because that would be a good place to put that kind of images, maybe.
Yeah, well, no, there isn't. So if you want to go start one, go ahead.
Okay, I might just start a forum thread where we post all these images.
That's good. That sounds good to me.
Yeah, I think your new headers, they look very good.
Yeah, they're fun. Yeah, that's great. It's cool. Carrie sent me those. And yeah. Even though that person put in the radio thing at the top, the only thing I don't like about it is I'm not really tied to Saturday nights anymore. It's not a good time for me at the moment. So that's something I would have left off, but that's all right. If you want to come Saturday night, they'll just find a replay.
Yeah, maybe you can just, if I start this thread with images, maybe you could just put in the information you would like to see in the logos. Because I kind of put in the same things, because you regularly you start the programs with most Saturdays at 9/11, and then you explain that it's not exactly that. And I don't know what your catch line would like it to be.
Well, I only had one slogan, and that was exposing media fakery one PSYOP at a time. I never did. The only one that had the start time of the radio program was the radio specific logo. That was the only one that had that time on it. So the regular logos don't have anything with regards to the radio station. But anyway, I guess that person must have been confused. So yeah, if anyone's listening, you can leave off the radio start time, because I'm all over the map right now on that.
Yeah, and mostly on Freemasonic numbers.
Well, of course. May as well use occult numbers. Maybe they mean something. They haven't done anything for me lately, but maybe if we put them in, maybe that'll help.
Yeah, it's just a funny thing to do, I think, just tell them or those who are listening that we think it's funny.
Yeah, I had at least one shill who was accusing the site of being Masonic, but obviously they can't take a joke, or they're just trying to confuse newcomers.
Yeah, it's a very surprising how many people that are around the internet, and I guess it's a common thing to get to. Digest some information and believe it's true, and then not want to listen to anything else anymore. And then you start being aggressive about those who does not share your opinion. I think I went through a stage like that too when I started to get into conspiracy theory.
Well, I suppose it's a good tactic to get people to go away. Get aggressive with them, and then they just go away. Nobody wants to put up a fight over their opinions and views. Most people just go away. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, the point I tried to make is the fact that when you start to discover or are able to actually take in the fact that some of the things in society is not at all what you have been taught taught during your younger years or your before, then you have this kind of aggression towards the system and towards all that has been maybe been done to you unbeknownst. So that aggression maybe comes out in regular people that that are uncovering conspiracy research for the first time, and they might be very they hold on very much to the initial theories that they have uncovered somehow.
Yeah. Well, I don't hold on to anything, but I am very suspicious of people that are so aggressive about it. Okay, well, you have a good theory, for instance, that you believe in the flat Earth, but why be overly aggressive about the shills or people that you don't think are right about it? I don't mind people pointing out there, people trying to derail, but sometimes people can be pretty aggressive. But I see both sides of the story, let's put it that way.
I'd say that if you're so sure about everything, it's hard to admit you've been wrong about something. So it kind of brings you into a corner. I'm afraid that some young researchers might do that mistake, and which could apply for some of the flat researchers out there too. But obviously, it is a lot of emphasizes put on these theories now too, so it's hard to know what is pushed and what is authentic.
Yes. Well, the Earth is a real tough one for me because it's so difficult to verify everything, in my opinion. But things like 9/11 are easier for me. They're easier to deconstruct, I think.
But what I find is funny, when you see new researchers come onto the scene, often they will have a very particular personal style. And I think that is unfortunately very often done by, controlled opposition, because in that way they will not be recognized when they're not playing their role as a shill. So they will always have this very particular and very, definite look, like Jeff Renz or many in the conspiracy business. They have a very definite look that means when they take off their hats and their beards, you won't recognize them.
Yeah, I see it. You mean physically, or you're being metaphoric?
No, physically. I'm thinking about Jim Morris without his hat. Would you recognize him? I don't think so. Jeff Renz without his hair, would you recognize him? I don't think so. And I don't know if I would recognize Mark Sargent without his cap or and that stuff either, you know?
Okay. All right, that's interesting. Yeah. Is Jeff Renz on video every day? Can you see him every day on video or?
No, but he has got a kind of a special hairstyle, and some of the other researchers too, they have some very particular style that you would wonder if they walk around like that all day, and they probably don't, only when they play the role. But it is a very effective way to not be recognized, to be very recognizable when you are playing your role.
Okay, but who would recognize these people, really? Where else would they show up in public? How would you even know them?
Yeah, right. That's a good point, but I do think that people like Alex Jones or Jeff Renz, or I think they have audiences that would make it possible for them to be recognized in their local area, not very often, but still.
Yeah, okay, maybe their local area. Yeah, okay, I'll agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that. But outside of their local area, they'd never be recognized. No one's ever going to notice them. Don't forget, Almost nobody looks into these things in the general public. There's a good chunk of the general public that's not even online. They have email, but they're not online for any other reason other than maybe the odd YouTube and Facebook.
Yeah, or maybe they don't want to be recognized online either, so like it gets a snowball rolling, you know?
Yeah.
But that's just an idea that I have, and I see that many of these alternative researchers that I've later found out are probably control oppositions, they often seem to have a personal style that is very specific and nearly scripted. So it would point to me to the fact that this is part of the plan from the outset to create this person, this personality, with this particular looks and this particular things. And that's a role they would play. And it makes it easier for them to get into character. And also when they go out of character, they would have a possibility to easier get out of their role, because it must be very tiring to play a very engaged and sincere person. You know, it's a very, very tough.
Yeah. Well, Mark Sargent is doing a lot on this topic. A lot of interviews, more interviews than you can imagine.
So he sound like an okay guy and everything. So he might be just a little bit controlled from outside without him knowing it, or he could be also. You know, planned this a little bit from the start, but did not expect the success he has had.
He's an interesting character. He doesn't have, he's short on details, but he's big on the big picture and he's big on the dome. I don't believe in the dome at all, so this seems too far-fetched for me.
He's a little bit too big on religion and on unproven facts. And, what I thought was funny was the fact that he is portrayed as living like kind of in a cellar somewhere, you know, being an old gamer or something without any girlfriend or family or nothing. But he seems like such a good talker and sociable person that it would really surprise me that this kind of person would be all alone.
Yeah, okay, well, I agree. It's a little odd, but I don't really think it's necessary to get into people's personal lives. I think that's a little that's a little too much digging. I think we can just concentrate on the merits of his arguments about flat Earth and what he's talking about exactly. So I think people get bogged down on the details. They're just trying to find something personal to which one can discredit him completely and ignore everything he's saying. So I don't like to dwell on that.
Oh, you're right. I just mentioned that in the sense that I think he might be playing a character, and in that sense, it's a little bit interesting, in my view anyhow, to see how they portray him and what's incoherent in the portrayal they do of him, because he is going around on public radio and such. So, but I actually don't listen to all these interviews anymore, because I think on the side of the proof that he brings, it's not so much.
No, I like his interviews because I like to listen to the host and their reaction, actually, because he's saying the same thing, but I like to hear other people's reaction and see what they're saying. And a lot of these hosts I've never heard of either. I know people are saying they never heard of me. That's fine. But the people he talks to, I've never heard of them either. And I like listening to them react.
Yeah, you're right. That's pretty interesting to see on which circuit he's actually spreading his message and who is receptible for it.
Yeah. Have you heard of many of these talk show hosts that he's on?
I listened to a couple of shows in the beginning, and I think, was he on Higher Side Chats also? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I know Eric Dubai was there, and I haven't heard about all the hosts he's been talking to, no.
Yeah, that's what I like. It's a good way to find new radio programs to listen to, actually. I know you like listening to them, and it's interesting.
Yeah, I'm a great audio fan, I think, as you are too. So I haven't started to listen to the audio in, I think you listen to audio in 1.5 speed or 2?
Oh, yeah, usually. It depends how fast the people talk. Sometimes people talk quickly, and if you listen to too fast a rate, you can't understand it, and I actually have to go back to 1. One times because there's some fast talkers.
It depends on who it is.
Yeah, you would never understand him if you sped him up. But so what do you think of the Titanic, James Cameron being involved in the 9/11 movie production? I didn't realize that he was not making any public films for a long time, maybe 8 years, including 2001.
That's very interesting.
Maybe he had a lot.
It's very, very interesting because I know that also in the Second World War, there was a lot of involvement by Hollywood in making documentaries and overtly at that time, they signed some of the documentaries. And now we know about the moon being a possible also job done by highly qualified Hollywood directors. So it would seem to be the recipe for making something work.
What do you think of the Titanic? First of all, do you think there was a Titanic, do you think it really sunk? Do you think that James Cameron is really taking a Russian ocean explorer to explore the Titanic, or is that all fiction? I think it's all fiction myself. I don't know if there was really a boat. I don't know that. I think there probably was some boat, but I don't think it sank, and I don't think he's exploring anything.
It might be a rehearsal for the BP oil spill later.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't think there's any. I don't think this Russian space explorer vehicle can go down that far, and that whole scenario I'm very suspicious of.
Yeah, I actually think that most of what they claim for the submarines is actually just spin. And I created a forum post also on that and going a bit back in time, and because you see, like. The UK, they have all their nuclear weapons in their submarines, you see. They don't have it on the bases anymore. It's all in the submarines. So they actually have some submarine accidents regularly just to have some stories in the news. So, I think there were no Russian space explorers, and I think there were no Russian scientists that were going with Cameron out on sea. Actually, it's funny that the people that was going to explore the hollow Earth and go to the North Pole, they wanted to rent a Russian nuclear icebreaker to go there, but they needed more money. They couldn't finance it all yet.
Yeah, it's always the same stories with these adventures. So I really don't think we have much knowledge of the bottom of the ocean floor. I don't believe the Marianas Trenches. I don't believe they really know how deep it is, and I don't think they can go down there for sure. All the numbers are very occult. So either that means they're just guessing and making up numbers, and they have no way of verifying any of that. I'm very suspicious that we have any super advanced knowledge in exploration. I really think a lot of this is made up. It's the same way it's made up in space. I think it could be made up in deep ocean exploration.
I completely agree. It's like, for what reason would you go and do all that research if what you're really interested in is just to control our minds? It doesn't have a logical connection, you know? So if all the exploration they claim to have done is just a means to get into our heads and to steer our minds, we must understand that they have not themselves any real desire for exploration, I would think.
Yeah, or they just want to control anyone's potential interest in exploring by saying we've already explored it and there's no point in you going because we already know there's nothing there and we're already controlling it.
I completely agree with that because I think that's exactly why they spin so many stories about the South Pole too. That people would think that everything is done. They even had this British TV presenter reach the South Pole on a bike. I mean, that kind of things is just completely unnecessary. But it's like it tells you that every exploration of the South Pole is over, you know.
Yeah, when you got royalty, Prince Harry wandering back and forth on the South Pole, I don't believe that either. I think he's just there to bring lots of publicity to the whole concept of the South Pole. I doubt he's wandering around down there.
So somehow it's like the theme of exploration is like continually used in the scripting of our reality. So reason for that is probably something to do with our reaction to this.
Well, yeah, they're just gatekeeping the whole idea. And if anyone had the crazy idea that they want to set something up to go explore, they're given the public idea that the military or someone else has already done it and nothing to do. So yeah, don't bother with your ideas, you know.
So it will be dissuasion, as you say. Yeah, I think that sounds reasonable.
Yeah, it's just a thought. Well, you have to always speculate. If you don't believe in so many concepts, you have to speculate, as we all do, what's real and what's not. And when I see occult numbers, that could mean that they are just guessing wildly, and this is just an indicator that they have no idea. Because, again, I just don't believe we have as much scientific knowledge and we're just not as competent to do these wild things as we're told. I think we're good at a bunch of things, but I think we're not good at a lot more things, and we just pretend we're good at it.
Yes, it's difficult to understand their mindset if they have so many people working on false theories and just filling their time with nonsense, people that actually could have had the capacity to actually make discoveries given the right information.
Yeah, like in diseases, I'm sure we could be a lot farther ahead in diseases if we had some less control, a central control of disease research.
Yes, I think in actually my view on that issue would be that if your role is to rule over a lot of people, one of the rules is to keep them dumb and sick. And I think they actually take it literally, Nelly. So I think that most people, they are unaware that the health system is not really made to make them live until they're 150.
Yeah, and just my research about AIDS, I'm doing a lot of research on looking at these AIDS documentaries. And I just wonder if the whole concept of a virus is a completely wrong concept, if there's no such thing as a virus. So it just leads a whole group of scientists down the wrong way of looking at things, just like these quantum physicists. It's just a whole wrong way of it's a whole wrong paradigm, and it's just wasting all these people's times that are looking into it, and it just takes all these people out of the game and is sending them down the wrong path, and it's really wasting time and research, you see. Whereas if these scientists could be doing some real research, see?
I really like your idea. I think I didn't listen to the whole show on the AIDS because it's a research I did some time ago, and I think that it's mostly uncovered for what it is. And I just think that the placebo effect and the nocebo effect, they are so powerful that I think that the most important thing as we can see through the media, is the mind control. So I think that even in illness, they probably well know that the most important thing is the picture we make of illnesses. And that's probably how they have been managing, cancer, AIDS, and vaccines. They manage it against our understanding, because we think it's something physical, but maybe it's much more in our mind than anything else.
Yeah, well, when you listen to these AIDS documentaries with a fakeologist mindset, it's so helpful because you can listen to the interview and you can hear different things that you would never hear if you didn't have our fakery mindset. For instance, in one of the AIDS interviews, I don't know, maybe the Emperor's New Virus, the interviewer is a young guy, is a young documentarian, and he's asking questions about the virus and electron, like microscopy. And if you listen closely, the people are telling him that the people that read the electron microscope imagery are more artists and they're not doctors. So they're not seeing what a doctor might see, and they're more interested in enhancing the image. And there really is no consistent image of a virus at all. So it's really just a fantasy. And they're just taking pictures of maybe cellular material that's always there. And they don't even know what they're looking at because they're not doctors. And the doctors don't know how to work an electron microscope. So they don't know what they're looking at. So you have two people, two professionals that don't know what they're looking at, and they don't have any way of communicating. So they're relying on each other with wrong information. They're exchanging wrong information. So they're actually not helping each other at all. And it's fascinating when maybe both of them are making it up as they go. And therefore really nothing good is coming of that particular research. So that's what I'm getting from it. It just seems like two sciences or pseudosciences that are trying to work together, but they're not helping each other. It's very interesting to listen to it when you think people are somehow making everything up that they're doing. And I really believe that there's a lot of fakery and they're just pretending to do what they're supposed to do. And they don't even know what they're doing, but they pretend they do. And no one is really double checking and has any way of verifying. It's very interesting when you listen to these documentaries as a fakeologist, I think.
On what subject was this? Was on AIDS, you said?
Yeah, we're talking about AIDS, and they're looking for a virus, but there's so much double talk. There really isn't a virus. There might not be any such thing as a virus. That's where I'm coming from, and the way they're talking, to me, it's clear there's no such thing as viruses, and therefore, if there's no such thing as a virus, there's definitely no such thing as the AIDS virus. And they're all barking up the wrong tree, or they're making it up as they're going along. That's my point. It's very interesting.
I like your analysis of that. To me, when you say that, I think of the fact that if you had a classroom of children and you were teaching them something, and when they handed in their copies, you didn't correct their errors. I mean, they would be completely lost at the end of the year. So maybe what you're saying is that the scientists are actually completely lost, and they just don't want to get to terms with that. But nobody's correcting them, so they just continue in their nonsense.
Yeah, I really think that. I think the more I hear about the AIDS research, and I hear about the discoverer of the so-called AIDS virus, the French guy, Montagnier, and then I hear about Fauci, and I hear about the other American guy. What's his name? I forget right now. There's three main characters in this whole Genesis AIDS story. And they're all very suspicious people. And they've all been pretty much discredited. But nobody wants to call them out. And they just have a really weak theory and no one's really challenged them. It just stood the test of time because there's so much foundation money and propaganda behind their myths that nobody dares stand in front of them. It's just like the 9/11 hoax. Nobody dares come out because they're told the majority believes the official 9/11 story. So nobody of any substance dares stand out in front and question it because they're told the majority believes that this in the official story. And the majority of doctors are told that AIDS is real because there's so much money behind the myth, and then nobody dares their neck out. There's no critical mass of people that question it, and therefore people back away from it. That's how things work. I think the synthesis of majority opinion is so powerful, and that's all the intelligence agencies ever do, is synthesize majority opinion to shut down intelligent people from questioning anything that they decide is going to be the message, whatever department it is, health or food or security, you name it.
Yeah, it's hard to fathom sometimes how many areas they actually use the same tactics. And when you add it all up, it's like it's actually quite incredible. But as you say, it also gives you a lead on the different subjects. It's like when they start talking about nuclear particles and quarks and all this stuff, you know, that then you can start to understand that they might not actually really know what they're doing. And when they're talking about DNA, I think it's the same. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. DNA is another big one. DNA is another big model that I think is false. Somehow it's false. I don't know how, but there's...
I have a theory on how. I think that once we can't see something, they sure will invent it. And if you think about it, religion works in the same way. Nobody can say what's happening when you die. We're going to tell you, and we're going to own that. And they own everything we can't see and everything that's illusionary for us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't prove there's no God, and you can't prove there is a God, and it's a stalemate forever. It's always going to be a stalemate.
Unless
no one can prove it. So we just leave it as a stalemate forever.
Yes, and they take those positions because they know nobody can move them away, you know? It's like very strongholds for these people that are really great at pretending and showing off, you know? They can hold those positions. Nobody can debunk them.
Yeah, very powerful. Very, very, very powerful. And that's the real mind control. That's the real mind control. There's no magical mind control. There's no drugs. There's no magical chemicals. There's no hocus pocus. The real mind control is just telling people how to think and telling people that they're wrong and that everyone else thinks a certain way. So you better think that way. That's the real mind control.
Yes, so as you talked about before with active literacy and everything, that is a form of mind control too. It's like words are not something real either. They're just concepts of something. But when you manipulate word in an effective enough way, you can make believe something to somebody else. And you design images in their mind with the words you use so that they get convinced. And I think that is how they mostly... rulers. It's like the power they have in the news. It's also the power they have over words and how they get the message out. And it's quite powerful. I think as you suspect with the 9/11 footage, it's like if James Cameron did that footage, I mean, he was obviously a person that would have been able to do it as well as it was done, because you must not forget, it took us a long time to understand that there was something wrong here.
Oh, yeah. Well, James, all these Hollywood directors are the new, thought leaders, really.
Yeah, maybe their position is quite more important than we would allege them to be, in the sense that they actually are depending on shoving the message down or into our heads. And that's what they're best at, and that would be the most important positions in the organization of how they control the society. So these people, they would obviously know how important they are, and obviously therefore get important positions also inwards in their structure.
Oh, yeah, and that's why they're paid all the money, whatever they're paid. We don't know what they're paid, but we know they're well compensated. There's no doubt about it, but we don't know the real pay.
Yeah, but if they're in it, really in it, they are printing the money. So it's like at one point, you don't really think about what's in your bank account when you can just take it from the source if you need more, you know?
Well, that's true. You only need so much money to survive and live.
Yeah, and what's their aim when they have that security of money? It's like it's of course the projects and the power they can have. So I'd guess that for somebody that's they propose something as exciting as to fool the whole world with the moon landings or with the BP oil spill or whatever, it would be quite exciting for the person that would actually going to really do it and know what he was doing beforehand.
Yeah, but I think if people have any morality after a while when they realize what they're doing, that it must get to them after a while, I think.
Once in France, it was an interview with some politicians, and the guy that interviewed these politicians, he asked them a very simple question. He asked them if they knew what the price for a ticket on the tube in Paris would be. And if anybody had the right answer?
These are your French politicians?
Yeah.
They don't. So you're saying they don't know, and therefore they're so out of touch with reality, with the regular people?
Yes, that's what I think. I think that once you have, servants to do anything you would like to, and you have loads of people doing the littlest thing that you would like them to do, you don't look at people the same way.
Yeah, I see what you mean. So you want to, they're happy to keep lying if it keeps their position of privilege.
Yeah, I think they do not have the ability to understand how it is to live in the system they are put into place. I don't think they have any idea of it, and it's probably nearly impossible for them to have that idea. They just pretend to. I don't even think Lady Diana really knew what it was like to live like a normal person, and she was one of the people that everybody thought she knew. She was so preoccupied with the regular people.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Yeah. You don't know. That's true. You don't know what she thought.
I think she knew what was going to happen that day, and I don't think she died for sure.
Well, I agree with that, yeah. Yeah, she knew. Who knows if she knew the timing and all that, when, how long she'd be princess and all that. I think it was all quite well scripted, no doubt about it in my mind.
Oh, yes, she was traveling all around the world, and I guess that there are so many agendas that they are actually trying to enhance when they do their scripting. But of course, she was like the divorced woman with children, a lot of problem, and she was so nice to everybody. So it's like she was obviously the hero of many lonely mothers, and actually also probably said to a lot of women that they probably should divorce if they weren't happy and all that stuff, you know.
Oh yeah, she was the hero of the common man. That was her role. She got the affection of the common man, so she became a bit of a leader, or a big leader, really. A big leader.
Yeah, don't you think that she was more of a sex symbol for the ordinary man and the hero for the ordinary woman?
Well, yeah. I think she was just a hero more than a sex symbol, but he was definitely well followed, no doubt about that for me.
Yeah, I think she was a good-looking woman.
Yeah, for sure. She was attractive. Not sure if she was a sex symbol, but she was attractive. Easy on the eye. Seemed very humble.
Yeah, she played very shy, yeah.
Yeah, she was anti-royalty right away. So anyone that didn't like the royalty, she was a bit of a hero to them.
Exactly.
And it's easy not to like Prince Charles because he's not an attractive person, although he's probably a perfectly nice person, probably, but not too attractive in any way for anybody.
Yeah, it's hard to know what their role really is. In one sense, they could be mingling with the people that have the real power, and they could actually have some real power themselves too. But I'm not sure exactly.
No, I don't know either. We can never know what's really happening. But okay, so you're gonna start. I'm just about. To go eat my dinner now, but I'm in my driveway, yes. And you're going to start up a thread, place these fresh logos where anyone who wants to contribute can do so and place them there, upload them there. And your new ones have new spelling, so I should look at those and put those, utilize those ones, the new ones.
Yeah, they're the same. It's just that the Saturday it's spelled the right way, but of course, if you, I'm going to start a thread, I think, and then if you can just put in the information you would like there to be in the header of your on your landing page, that would probably help others too to probably contribute with their artworks.
Oh yeah, I'm going to do that. I think what program did you use to make it so people can learn?
It depends what they are familiar with, but I'm working with graphic components quite often myself. So I use a program that's fairly well known. It's called InDesign. It mixes vector information with pixel information.
It's called InDesign. Is that a commercial software?
Yeah, it's one of the programs in the Adobe Photoshop suite. It's called a Creative Suite from Adobe. And but I think you don't need to have such an advanced program. It's just you have to mix text and images. So we have to mix vector information with pixels.
Okay. Yeah. All right. There's some free ones out there. I use Pixlr, PIXLR.com. That's free. Pixlr, PIXLR.com. It's not the easiest to use. It does work.
Yeah, I mean, you can use any program that will mix images with text. So that would include Word. And then you just need to, you can also do that online. You can go to upload your images to have them sized as you like them for a website and optimized. Because I think your banners, they're 960 by 250 pixels.
Yeah, that sounds right. 960 by 250. Yeah, I think so. I think so.
You probably should work on getting some free Masonic numbers in there.
Yeah, they're not. I don't think those ones are Masonic, are they?
No, they're not exactly.
No. All right, it was nice talking with you, Unreal, and keep up the good work. And we'll see you on the internet.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for taking the time. I've been have a good. Did you have a holiday today in Canada?
No, not me. No, no, no.
Okay. In France, it was a holiday because of, you know, Easter.
Well, only the ruling class is off. So anyone in the government is off. But so-called private enterprise was working today. But the ruling class, which is the government workers, they're off. Call that the ruling class now.
Yeah, it is. Okay, Ab.
All right, take care.
You too. See you.
Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Rochello, and you're not listening to me, you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.